All right, highlight for me week two, round two, Mike Evans, Lattimore, taking it back to 2017. Do you see the fight?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, bro. Look, that's why I love the NFC South, because we all hate each other, right? Like the Saints, like everyone hates the Saints. We start with that. The Saints are the worst team in the National Football League. They're not, mathematically speaking. It's just for the NFC South
The
fans. We all hate them, right? Like you get a Falcons, Bucks, and Panthers fan together, we'll be like, oh, we're NFC South. F the Saints. And that's the energy we bring in this week. Period. Everybody in the NFC South hates New Orleans Saints. Start the damn show. What up, what up, what up? Jason Spells in New York City. Brandon Edler in Los Angeles. We hate the Saints, bro. We just do. No NFC, no self-respecting fan of the NFC South likes looking at the Saints.
What'd they do to you? Who hurt
First
you?
off, what they did to themselves. I've never seen a team that literally cries and moans about every bad thing that ever happens to them, right? They
I
don't
mean,
even
in
take
all.
into consideration. Their only Super Bowl was because Hank Basket didn't recover an onside kick. But anytime something bad to them, that
Facts.
fan base is so entitled, and they act as if they're God's gift to football. You think I'm joking? Our friend Rob, shout out Rob. I know he's listening to the show right now. He's a Buccaneers fan. Ask him the team he
Yeah.
hates. It's the Saints. Ask
So
a Falcons fan who to hate. The Saints. Panthers fans. We hate the Saints.
The way I'm getting this is the same way I feel about Ohio State fans. They are the most annoying fans in the world for a variety of reasons. But a lot of it starts with the Ohio chant. And I'm guessing you're not a big fan of the, what is it? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat?
I mean, look, who dat is new, is Cincinnati. Who dat are the are obviously the Saints. No, it has
Gotcha.
nothing to do with the chant, right? And I love New Orleans as a city. I used to work in New Orleans. Genuinely love the people. They are great, passionate fan base. It's just when it comes to football, let one bad play happen and they lose their shit as if, like, we owe them something. No, you didn't play well enough to win. You ask me any week, who am I cheering against? I'm cheering for the Panthers, and the other team I'm cheering for is whoever's playing the Saints.
So let me just take it back. It sounds like you're kind of alluding to, what was that, the 2019 NFC Championship game?
2019, 2020, 2018. You pick a season,
yeah.
Saints fans
yeah.
don't grieve for anything.
Yeah. All right, all right. Yeah, I get you. I get you. I like the tone of the, you know, if you're good enough, you would have won the game. That's what coaches would say. I totally feel that I'm with you.
Except for Sean Payton never said that. He just blamed other people.
Man, Sean
look,
Payton.
Bro,
Can't
I
wait
got,
to see where he goes next year.
My hate, look, watch you be in Carolina next year, and I got to deal with it. Actually
but
did
it,
make the go ahead.
I was gonna say, it seems like you're pretty content with them losing anyway, so I don't even know why you'd be mad. Looks like you're you know, bound for the number one pick. That's your whole goal for the year.
And firing the head coach. Let us not forget, I have not been a fan of the head coach at any point in his tenure in Charlotte.
Yeah, made that known.
Everyone who knows me knows that's how I feel. Went to the
game.
It was
a game.
It
yeah,
was good.
It was, a
it was
game.
Good. Enjoyable. And the funny thing is, like, even the it was so bad the Giants fans were like, oh my God, like y'all are so nice. Like, it'll get better. And I was like, we gotta fire the coach. They're like, yeah, you gotta fire a coach and get a quarterback. That's when Giants fans, New York Giants fans who haven't started the season 2-0 since 2016, when
right,
Giants fans are like, you know what, y'all got it bad, that's when you know we need to clean house.
That's that was like kind of the big conversation on football Reddit today, was name a worst 2-0 team in NFL history. And they started going through it. And I think the one that everybody really alluded to, I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was like 09, maybe the 6-0 Steelers. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's Steelers team that ended up losing to Tebow in the playoffs.
Look, man, yeah, your record is what your record is. New York Giants are 2-0. They are one of the best teams in the NFC East. Ain't shit you can say about it. Like, there's absolutely nothing. You can't make that argument.
It's a common theme we're seeing, though. It's the coach, him, the Lions, the Vikings. Even the Vikings didn't fare out too well tonight. But you're seeing this injection of some of these younger coaches bringing a new energy. You know, players really seem to respond to it really well. And I think that's probably the only factor that's made the Giants 2-0 right now.
Okay, I'm also going to apologize. I have said a lot of bad things about Alabama quarterbacks. I've said I don't respect them. I said they're not going to be good in the NFL. I said no matter what, don't take an Alabama quarterback. And a friend of mine today who listens to the podcast reiterated, Jalen is not just an Alabama quarterback. He's an Oklahoma quarterback. So I don't feel as if I'm completely wrong in my assessment of quarterbacks from the University of Alabama. That being said, Tua and Jalen are playing amazingly well right now. Obviously,
we're taking Jones this. Won yesterday, too. That's 3-0 this week for Alabama quarterbacks.
He did win yesterday. He did. But that was a different situation, right? Like, that's different. He didn't have the dominant performance we saw from Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua slinging it.
He also did it against Pitt, and like they quarterback Trubisky. Like offensively, Pittsburgh ain't putting up points. Like what we saw out of Tua yesterday, what we saw out of Jalen tonight, I might have to start taking back my belief about Alabama quarterbacks. I'm not taking it back yet, week two, but I might have to.
Jalen's going to get that money. Also, Tua, Waddle and Hill, first two receivers to get over 150 yards and two touchdowns since Jerry Rice, and I don't remember who the other player was in 85. That's pretty crazy.
No, I didn't know that. That's a good stat. That's a good stat right there. So, I mean, week two of the National Football League, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be a wash of a weekend. I had many other things planned, including going to an actual NFL game. But I was pleasantly surprised tonight. I obviously enjoyed Monday Night Football. I love doubleheaders on Monday night.
Yeah, they didn't do that last week. It's usually a week one thing. Is that something they're going to be doing more moving forward?
Nah, I think it's just a once a season thing. I don't know why ESPN didn't get it week one this year. But usually, you're right, it is a week one situation. But like, it just feels like a doubleheader on Monday night. Like the weekend ain't over. I got more football. Yeah. I got four more teams, two more games.
So 2 weeks in, it's not too early to hit the panic button, but of course people are. What's the one team where you're like, man, they're making me nervous?
2 weeks ago, we said Indianapolis was going to win the AFC South. They suck.
Terrible.
Indianapolis lost 24-0 Jacksonville Jaguars. Indianapolis Colts are not a playoff team. They're not a division championship.
In all fairness, Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since – they moved to Baltimore, basically. I mean, that's a, for whatever reason, the same way the Patriots struggle in Miami, the Colts struggle.
Bro, I have actually been to Jacksonville and seen Colts win games. They don't get blown out 24. I've been to Jacksonville, seen them lose too, but they don't get blown out 24-0. So that's if you want to say, look at this, you want to say the most underwhelming team in the National Football League going into week three, tell me a team that's worse than the Indianapolis Colts.
I can't.
They have a defense, Darius Leonard. They got a running back in Naeem Hines. They got a quarterback who should be serviceable. Look, Kenny Pittman has been injured. Their wide receiver, or Michael Pittman, I'm sorry. But they have the pieces to at least be 1-1 at this point. There is no team that has been as underperforming as the 0-1-1 Indianapolis Colts. Bro, it ain't like they lost to Kansas City and tied with the Chargers. They tied with the Texans and lost to the Jags.
Completely agree. You know, you got Wentz over in Washington doing Wentz things, still making some pretty stupid plays, but at least he's been slinging the ball. He's been looking good. Matt Ryan's kind of looking like Wentz last year a little bit, making a lot of dumb mistakes, not getting the ball downfield. So you have to wonder, was it Wentz? Is it the Colts offense? I mean, it just, you look at everybody play and the way they're able to shift around playmakers and get them open, find them the one-on-one coverages that they want. Colts aren't capable of doing that. And your point, yeah, Pittman Jr. was out. So was their second receiver. I'm blanking on his name right now. But you still have Naeem Hines. He can do a lot out of the backfield. You still have serviceable tight end. You still have other good receivers.
Cox and tight end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Colts, they look like they're playing 1997 football, and it just looks trash. Frank Reich, not going to make it through the rest of the year the way they're going. Mine, even though they won, I'm going to say the Packers. Even though they won,
really?
They should have dominated the Bears. The offense looked stagnant. Other than Aaron Jones, I didn't think the Packers looked remotely good at all. Once they start playing some tougher competition than the NFC North, I'm a little bit nervous what's going to happen. I know, yeah, we talked about it last week. First week of the year, they always start off really slow. They got their asses kicked by New Orleans last year. This isn't new. It happens to them. Relax, as Aaron Rodgers likes to say. But, man, I don't know. That Bears game really kind of – I'm just not really seeing it out of them this year. I think them losing Devontae Adams and some other weapons at receivers hurt them a little bit more than they're willing to admit.
Yeah, you can't make the argument that they're better without Devontae Adams. No one is going to make that argument. However, I'm not willing to say I'm super underwhelmed by them, right? Like, I'm just at the point where it's like, you ask a question. What was the one team right now where I'm like, ugh, yeah, they ain't good?
That's how I feel about the Packers.
I saw this video, and I sent it to you right before we taped it. And it's easy to sit there and say there's maybe like a Manning overload, right? Like we get the commercials, we get the Manning cast, we got all these things. But if you haven't seen it yet, you all will soon over social media and on television. Eli Manning went under makeup and was part of walk-on tryouts at Penn State. And sometimes I think those things are corny. Maybe that's the cynical nature in myself. Maybe it's just me just being a jackass. I don't know. But like,
probably all the above.
Yeah, true. That is true. I am willfully, I'll admit, I am all the above. However, I enjoyed that Eli Manning little skit. Like, it was funny. Like, he called himself Chad Powers. He was goofy as he always is.
Yeah, dude, it was good. It was, it kind of reminded me of a Tim Robinson skit where he dresses up as this guy. I'm going to say, dress up as this guy, Carl Havoc. It reminded me of that. It was just like very unpredictably funny, but also like the reactions were great. You could tell it took the guys a little bit. This is what I'm hoping coming out of the Mannings. Peyton, the whole Peyton's Places didn't really do anything for me. Thought it was pretty corny. And then they kind of started doing a little bit with Eli. I was nervous where they're going to go with things. And then Peyton has that college game show. Looks god awful, about as bad as Steph Curry's mini putt, whatever the hell he's got going on. But this is the one. What is the one thing that Peyton did so well? Eli, too, the ESPN commercial where they're walking in the hallway with their parents, messing with each other, funny. Other thing, Peyton's SNL appearance. In my argument, like one of the greatest non-actor SNL hosts of all time. I want to see more of it. I hope they keep going down this way. I hope they bring on a staff of comedy writers and just try out more of this.
Self-deprecation. That's what endears Peyton and Eli to us, their ability to make fun of themselves, yet uniquely be themselves. If I can go back to that Packers game, like I'm not going to be the biggest rider for Aaron Rodgers. But with the offense, right? Like he had 203 yards rushing, he threw for 211. We saw a balanced attack from the Packers, and you're still saying you're underwhelmed?
Against the Bears, did you see the Bears' offense, how atrocious it was? Like, I don't understand how
Green Bay didn't put up 50. I mean, Justin Fields is 7 of 11. 7 of 11 50. For a quarterback who's supposed to be your guy. Yeah, I'm with you.
Packers should be putting up 50 on that sorry-ass Bears team. The fact that you're not, that worries me. I get it's the NFL, and there usually aren't blowouts like that, but there's certain teams you should blow the hell out. That's a game.
That's we the saw game the Bills get up in the Titans on a blowout.
Man. Josh Hinton didn't even have his second-best receiver and still absolutely dominated. Stephon Diggs, 3 touchdowns. Thank you. Me and my fantasy football team, thank you, as we go into week 3, 2-0.
Okay, and here's something we had talked about last year in one of our favorite episodes, Dropping the Bag. And this is from the National Basketball Association. Dennis Schroeder is going back to the Lakers now for a one-year, $2.6 million deal. Right? After he went to Boston for $5.5 and turned down, what, a $20 million deal last year from the same Lakers?
Yeah, man. It's Lakers still have to be so grateful that they never ended up signing him. What was it again?
I'm looking it up 4 years. I think it was
4 years at 82.
It was something dumb.
Something like that.
It was something dumb, yeah. That's for sure.
It was definitely in the 80 mil. I want to say 4 years. They're so fortunate that they didn't get that contract, but still can't believe that they didn't end up keeping White Mamba. They had White Mamba on that squad last year. I think they might have made a little bit of a play.
No, don't play me with that, man. So first off, and I said to you, did you see Eric Alex Caruso got the audacity to be selling merch with a goat on it? You saw that, dude, right?
I didn't. But these guys with their merch, man, I just
– welcome to my side. Welcome to my side of living where it's like, yo, everybody trying to merch the raggedy stuff. Like, first off, Alex Caruso – he's taking his goat thing too far. What is he the goat of?
My basketball players.
Dirk Nowitzki? Larry Bird? I mean,
right, playing Sean right Bradley? Now, current white basketball players. Sean Bradley, get out of here.
I'm not going to let you disrespect Sean Bradley like that.
Sean Bradley gets disrespected every time you open up a pack of basketball cards and he's being dunked on by somebody.
I ain't going to let you disrespect Sean Bradley like that. He was better than Alex Caruso.
So, real quick, Ando.
Grateful of friends.
My old
Nick
boss
Collison. Finish line. I'm just naming all the white boys who played at Kansas in like the late 2000s, early to late 99s, 2000s. Grateful friends. Nick Collison, Kirk Heinrich. Right?
My old boss at Finish Line, he was a couple years older than me, really cool guy. And we used to just get into these like verbal little jabs like you and I do all the time. And that's what I started calling him, Sean Bradley, at one time during one of our arguments. And he still to this day, every now and then, I can tell it's a drunk text at like 1 a.m. on a weekend. And he'll still be like, I still can't believe you called me that in front of everybody. So yeah, Sean Bradley, that's a little more disrespectful than you think.
He turned down a 4-year, $84 million contract extension because he thought he could get better on open market. He got $6 million last year, and again, 2.6 this year. His pay grade continues to drop. That is indeed a cautionary tale. Once again,
and keeping it real goes wrong.
The wrongest of ways. My guy literally made $9 million. He lost $75 million. And he's doing 1-year deals. Yeah, not the brightest. But Dennis Schroeder back in the news. That's what's happening in the NBA. NBA is actually back in practice, like, what, 2 weeks from now? So we'll have more NBA talk.
Media Day Wednesday, I think, or next week.
We'll have more to talk about from the National Basketball Association as we count down to that. And, of course, NFL. Brandon, are we ever going to get you to be a college football fan?
No.
Even after you saw what Appalachian State has done the last 3 weeks?
I don't even know who that is.
You serious?
There's a mountain state like that?
First off, Appalachian State is in Boone, North Carolina.
Mountain state?
We do have the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, for the record. But Boone, North Carolina, they went to Carolina, had a hell of a fourth quarter, lost a game, knocked off Texas A&M, a top 10 team, week 2 in College Station. They got paid $1.5 million and still beat the hell out of a top 10 team. And then they hosted a team, what, Troy, I believe, last weekend, and should have lost the game, scored an amazing end of the game, Hail Mary for the touchdown. And since we're talking about amazing endings to the game, Hunter Renfrow, 2 fumbles for the Raiders.
Oof.
Two.
Oof.
Two.
That's somebody I really wanted in fantasy, too. I'm glad I missed him. He is trash to start the year.
No, don't do that to the dude. Don't do that to the dude.
Hunter. Who names their son Hunter?
That's the name of the episode this week. Yo, man, whenever you get married, settle down. I pray to God your wife named your son Hunter. That would be karma like a mother.
My dad wanted to name me Toby, so I already dodged that one.
Yeah, because you would have been clowned relentlessly, especially when The Office came out. Like, Toby's here.
True.
You're Toby.
Tobias, my middle name's my father's name, Douglas. It is now. He wanted my initials to be TD Edler. So, like, when I scored a touchdown.
Tobias Douglas Edler.
TD Edler.
I'm glad your mother Edler. Went with Brandon, because Tobias.
I know. Mom, I love you.
Other than Tobias Harris, who plays the NBA, I've never heard of another Tobias before in my life.
Tobias Funke. Have you ever seen Arrested Development? Like, one
yes,
of the
I have. Players. I do enjoy
Tobias Funke.
So, Arrested Development myself. That's another one of those shows I didn't realize the greatness of until after it was off of air and it was uniquely only on Netflix. And then I started streaming it and I died laughing at it.
So well written.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievably actually. Well written.
I won't hold y'all too long this week because, you know, hey, we got 2 shows this week. But it is Tuesday, so you know what that means. Finesse of the week. Whew. Where do we start finessing this week, Brandon? What are you getting finessed on?
I think we're getting finessed on going out to eat. Like, I know we have one that kind of fits in the same thing, but for me, the finesse is how come when I go into not even a restaurant, a food place, a drink place, like go to get a coffee, but it's not Starbucks, whatever. You're gonna flip the little iPad around, and the first thing you got up there is 20%. I'm gonna give you 20% what for literally punching in 3 things. Like, nothing drives me crazy more than restaurant situation where they try and pass like me taking care of your salary because your boss is too cheap to do it. Like, that shit, that's a finesse. It's always been a finesse, but the whole iPad flipping that around, you're in line with cute girl behind you or with all your coworkers, and your cheap ass just tips a dollar. Like, nah, man, don't play me like that. Tell your boss to pay you. That ain't my job.
Yo, it is funny because I saw a meme once. It was like, if I go somewhere and shop and I got to pay on an iPad, I know I'm going to be expected to tip for something I never used to have to tip for before.
Sweat.
And that is so true. And it's like, you get nickel and dime in eating out these days. And it's, you know who I blame for this? People say Square. People say PayPal. No, I blame food trucks. Because food trucks were the first people to institute like the mobile paying of something. And so, like, you would pay for it, and they were the first to have the iPad or their little cell phone. And you know, remember they used to put the little thing in, like, the microphone thing, like little microphone jack or whatever? You swipe your card, tip. But then that established, like, oh, I'm supposed to tip extra for this. I'm like, this raggedy-ass taco. You want me to tip extra for this? And then once again, to your credit, right? Like, it automatically starts like 20 to 25%. What is industry standard for tipping? Bro,
I've been seeing places at 30. It's like 30, 25,
you lost 20, your damn mind at 30%.
Right? Right?
You ain't getting nothing. Mind. You think I'm tipping
30%. I'll be cheap. I don't care. I'm getting to that age where being cheap looks good on me.
Well, first off, it's like, in theory, you tip for exceptional service, right?
You do. Like, so, like, yeah, like, I go to a nice steakhouse and, you know, good service, good food, the ambiance. I know I'm going to get some afterwards because the whole thing was laid out. Hell yeah, I'm going to tip 20 plus. But to go in and tell you I want an iced caramel macchiato and then you're going to flip that thing around and I owe you $3 more? Fuck out of here.
All right, so apparently Brandon got some bullshit at the coffee shop on Monday morning and he's been sitting on that all day. Yo, have you seen that video of a little kid getting off the school bus? Like his first day is like, Mom,
sandwich.
Your first day. Like, the sandwich is terrible, by the way.
Yeah.
The sandwich is really terrible. That's what I feel like you. You had a shitty coffee at like 8 a.m. Pacific time, and that's been on your spirit all day long. Like, man, I tip an extra $2.75. It's trash.
I've been holding on that since Friday. I've been waiting for this episode to put this out there.
Hey, look, man, I agree with you. I do feel as if now everyone wants a tip for every single thing. I don't know where it ends. I don't even know what I'm supposed to or not supposed to tip for now because I'm expected to tip on everything. It's like, all right, I guess if the cable guy comes to fix my cable, do I tip him? I don't know. Am I supposed to? I just found out, I don't know, a woman who's a flight attendant. You know you can tip flight attendants?
Nah.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, we accept tips. I'm like, what for?
I'll tip you once I can actually, like, get off the flight without my legs falling asleep. Like, if I sit in first class and you're serving me champagne and buffalo wings, hell yeah, I'm going to tip you.
First off, first class, I get buffalo wings.
Yeah. But you got me scrunched back in 34D sitting in between a crying baby and some lady who had the light on all night so she could read whatever sex diary she wants to read. Like, no, I ain't tipping you for that. You can do nothing. You gave me a half a ginger ale on dirty ice. No, I'm good.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is our finesse of the week. As always, we love it when you listen to us. We appreciate it. If you like the show, give us a like if they love it. Week 3 of the National Football League, September the 20th. How should they show they love, Brandon?
Each one, reach one. If you can, teach them.
Put your people on so they can put their people on. Don't get finessed this week. We're going to see y'all back again Friday.
Peace.